Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. Good morning, everybody. Beautiful tribute to a beautiful man. And you know, the thing I've been thinking very deeply about Pastor Donovan's life, you know, when you see a life like his and you realize how many people he impacted, it forces you to kind of take stock a little bit about our lives, and got me thinking about my life and thinking about how I live my life and what I prioritize in my life. And the thing about us as human beings, I think it's true to say of every human being in the world, we all want our lives to count, don't we? We all want our lives to matter. We all want our lives to have an impact on other people. And the thing is, it's not about whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. It's not about whether you're male or female, whether you're young or old. It's not about whether you have experience or not. It's not about whether you're a preacher or somebody with a public platform. I think each one of us, we want our lives to matter. And the good news for each one of us is Jesus says to us, he teaches us in the passage that we're going to dive into today, how it is that each human life can actually look like that. The good news is it's possible actually to live a life. I put this phrase together in my head. It's possible for each one of us, church, to live a life that finds its roots in other people's lives. It's possible. It's not reserved for special people. It's reserved for any man and any woman who simply decides to be good soil. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. The title of the message is called Becoming the One in Four. We're going to read about four types of soil, and we're going to read that out of the four types of soil in life, there's one soil out of four that actually grows something. We're going to learn how it is that you and I, as we live our lives, can become the soil that's the minority soil, that the one in four soil. And we're going to go to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. It's a well-known parable, but today we're going to dive into it and kind of dig in and see what it is that the Lord might want to speak to us about today. It says, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside a lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, he said. Listen, exclamation mark over it. I think Jesus was worried that people were going to sleep in this moment. If I see you sleeping in the service, I'm just going to go, hey, listen. Everybody say, listen. Turn to the person next to you and say, listen. Now turn to your second choice and say, I'm so sorry. You all got it? Listen, right? A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on a shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, excuse me, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Everybody say, listen. Listen. Now we're going to drop down to verse 18. Jesus says, now listen to the explanation or the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil, second type of seed, represents those who hear the message and they immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns, third type, represents those who hear God's word, But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Lastly, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. There's three agricultural dynamics going on here. We've got the sower, who is God. We've got the seed, which is his word or the kingdom. And we've got the soil, which is our hearts. Please notice today, church, the only thing that determined whether or not there was a crop, whether or not there was a harvest, was the soil. It wasn't the sower, it wasn't the seed, it wasn't the weather conditions, it was simply this, the soil. The soil is the primary determining factor for whether or not there is growth in the kingdom. And Jesus says, look, you and I, our lives, our hearts are soil. And there is one in four types of soil that produces anything. Each one of us, we have a decision to make as to whether or not we'll be the one in four type of soil. And so, as I said to you today, the title of the message is Becoming the One in Four. Who here wants to be part of a majority? I pray nobody. Nobody wants to be the majority. Each one of us, we want to be the blessed minority. Are you with me? Now, soil is incredibly important. As I was studying for this message, I found out some stuff about soil that I had no idea about. You know, the earth that literally lies beneath our feet and that we walk upon, we take it for granted, but we don't actually realize just how powerful and how important soil is. Did you know that soil is not renewable? I never knew that. I mean, I should have, but I guess I never did. Soil is not renewable. In other words, here's the thing. Here's a staggering reality. It can take 1,000 years for a layer of topsoil to form. 1,000 years for a layer of topsoil to form. And it can get washed away in a moment. And it's not renewable. Secondly, that soil is massively important for our ecosystems. It houses a whole lot of microsystems which are vital to many cycles in our world. The carbon cycle, the hydrogen cycle, so many cycles in our planet depend upon soil. Yeah. It's also the second largest carbon sink, what they call a carbon sink in the world. Did you know that? So the ocean is a carbon sink, but soil is as well, meaning that it is a place where carbon settles and is stored. And it's so important for carbon to be settled and stored somewhere because it regulates the amount of carbon in our atmosphere. Soil is the second largest thing after the ocean responsible for the level of carbon and the greenhouse effect in our planet. Its soil is massively important. Here's the one that I couldn't get over though. There are more living organisms in one teaspoon of soil than there are human beings on the planet. Can you believe that? I had to read that a few times and double check it. There are more living microorganisms in a teaspoon of soil than there are human beings on our planet. The point that I'm making, church, is simply this. Soil is massively important for life on our planet. But more importantly, soil is hugely important for life in the kingdom. And Jesus says that our lives, our hearts, he uses the analogy, are soil. And each one of us, we all get confronted with the same kingdom that comes to us, yet each one of us decides how we will do it. Talking about soil, just let me take a short left quickly. Ukraine has the most fertile soil on the planet. Did you know that? Isn't that staggering? The most fertile soil on the world, on Earth. There are many reasons why Ukraine's being invaded. That's one of them. We should pray for Ukraine, people. Amen? Let's not be people that go, you know what, that's an Eastern European problem. That's like up there. It snows there anyway, so who cares about it? You know, all that kind of vibe. Let's be people who pray for and think about our world, and we look at suffering, wherever suffering may find itself, and we pray into it. I read a very interesting article yesterday. They said, this guy said, I'm no longer praying for peace. I'm praying for a miracle. That God would do a miracle in the hearts and the lives of leaders who are responsible for all of this thing. Can I get some amens?
Amen.
So, Soil is vital for life on earth. It's vital for life in the kingdom. We've got three types of soil that don't produce anything. Three types of human heart that don't produce anything. The one is hard soil. The second is the rocky soil. Third is the thorny soil. So let's dive into them, because there's three things, church, there's three things that'll stop the kingdom coming in your life. There's three things that'll block it before it can ever take root and produce. There's three things that'll stop your life from becoming significant in any way in life. The first is if our lives become hard soil. Now, what's the hard soil? Well, it's hard hearts, isn't it? What makes our hearts hard? It's past hurts, past regrets, difficulties, betrayals, disappointments, disillusionments. The hard soil referred to here is the footpath that goes between these agricultural fields. So picture farmland and people walking between the fields. They would create footpaths because they've been trampled upon a lot. And what ends up happening is that this soil gets so trampled upon, it actually gets compacted. Now, the problem with compacted soil is it's not only that it's hard, it's that there's no air in the soil. And the reason why nothing can grow is because neither water can get through because it's so hard, or it struggles to get through, but also because there's no air. Many things can make our hearts hard. How's the state of your heart at the moment? If I had to ask you to kind of draw a little vertical graph with a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being as soft as mushy peas on Valentine's Day, and 10 being as hard as the heart of Vladimir Putin towards Ukraine, which one would it be? The second thing that stops the kingdom coming is not only hard hearts, but it's rocky space. Rocky space. Now, the second type of soil, it's shallow soil. So what ends up happening is the seed can take root, but as soon as it tries to drop a root deeper down, there's rocks underneath it, and so the root can't go through the rocks. Are you with me? What are the rocks? Well, the rocks are all sorts of things that actually stop our understanding. This category of people, Jesus says, are those people that have received the word of God. They've heard about God. They've heard about the kingdom of God. They've heard about Jesus and his life and his sacrifice. They've heard that he died for them, all of that stuff, but they always kept it shallow. They never stopped to consider carefully what this means for their life. They never stopped to think deeply about the gospel. How does Jesus' life and teachings actually change my life? For example, when he says to forgive 70 times 7, what does that actually realistically mean for my life? So there's a shallowness to their understanding of Christ's life. Then the third type of soil is the thorny soil, or what we could call the thorny issues. In other words, Jesus says, hey, seed goes in the soil, grows, starts to grow, but there's something that comes and takes this out. There's something that comes and chokes out the growth of the legitimate plant, and it's these thorns. And he mentions two thorns. He mentions worries and wealth. Worries about life. Worries about whether we're going to be okay. Worries about anything and everything in our life. And wealth. Not being wealthy, don't hear what Jesus is not saying. Don't misunderstand it. It's not that. It's a reordered priority, a disordered priority when it comes to wealth. In other words, we spend too much time thinking about wealth, spend too much time worrying about wealth, spend too much time trying to get wealthy. It's just a reordering of priorities. Are you all still with me? All alive? Good. So we've got three things that stop the kingdom coming. Number one, hard soil. Number two, rocky space. And number three, thorny issues. And so let me recap. The only thing that counted, the only thing that determined whether or not the soil would grow, the crop would grow, was the soil. So Having said that, Jesus says this fourth type, remember today is about becoming the one in four. The one in four soil is good soil, Jesus calls it. Now, as I was studying for this, I was able to read some research on what makes good soil. And I discovered that there are six different types of soil broadly, six buckets of soil in our world. Here they are. They are, you get clay soil, you get sandy soil, you get silky soil, you get peaty soil, you get chalky soil, and you get loamy soil. It's almost like names for the seven dwarves, isn't it? That's what it sounds like to me. Who are you? I'm chalky soil. I'm sandy soil. Almost sounds like a describing a whiskey, hey? Slightly silty with a little bit of peaty. Chalky and loamy aftertaste. I don't know why that came out Scottish. Should we do Irish rather? Let's do it with Irish. Oh, it's going to be nice and sandy. It's a little bit of silty soil, a little bit chalky and loamy. Pick an accent, we'll do one, okay, if this time off good. Anyway, you, oh, Australian. Oh, here's the silty soil, some chalky and loamy soil as well. And you find the loamy soil in Queensland, and there's, you found it next to the kookaburras and the kangaroos and next to all the dodgy Australians. If you're from Australia and you're watching us, well, I'm so sorry, but we are better at you than rugby. So there we go. There we go. All right, you're distracting me. Seven types of soil. Are you with me? Now, six types of soil. But the good soil is actually what they call the loamy soil. The loamy soil. Could I, stage team, please get a tissue if you wouldn't mind? Thanks so much. Loamy soil's got seven characteristics to it. Now, don't miss this, church, because this is important. If Jesus says that, if he chooses the analogy of soil to describe our hearts, then surely when Jesus says there's good soil, we should learn what that good soil looks like so that we can know how that applies to our lives. So good soil, loamy soil, has got seven characteristics to it. Thank you. Let me give it to you. Number one, it's got good structure to it. Good structure. Number two, it drains well. Number three, it retains moisture. Number four, it's full of nutrients. Number five, it's easy to cultivate. Number six, it warms up quickly in spring. And number seven, it doesn't dry out in summer. Seven characteristics. I think those can be paralleled to our lives. What's the good soil of a human heart? Number one, I want to suggest to you today, church, that it is the human heart that has good structure to it. In other words, our lives have good structure. By that I mean, do you have a structure to your life? Do you have a waking up time and a going to bed time? Do you have a structure to your life when you connect with God, when you draw close to Jesus, when this is time when you read God's word? Do you have a structure to your family life? This is when we eat dinner together. This is when we gather around the table. Might not be able to do it every night, but you know what? Three or four nights a week, we're going to gather around the table. This is a structure to our lives. This is when I eat. This is when I drink water. This is when I read. This is when I replenish. Are you with? You're getting the picture of structure I'm talking about. So one of the things that Pastor Ken found for me, and I downloaded it as soon as I saw it, it's a little app called Pause. And basically what it does is it's got 1 minute pauses, 3 minute pauses, 5 minute pauses, and even 10 minute pauses, I think. And the bottom line is that you can set reminders in your day for your phone to do like a notification, and it says pause. And then what you do is you pause and you listen to dolphin music for a minute, you listen to a little bit of God's word, you feel happy vibes. And it's just a little bit of a reset in the middle of the day. The app is called Pause, for those of you who want to do it. It's awesome. But that requires a structure. Early in the morning, lunchtime, afternoon, nighttime, whatever works for you. Good soil has structure. Everybody say structure. Number two, it drains well. In other words, it doesn't dam up. I think our souls drown in the things that dam up cumulatively in our lives. Church, can I ask you today, just very respectfully and thoughtfully, to think about maybe what's dammed up in your life? what's there that's kind of, maybe it's resentment and bitterness and hurt and fear of failure or sense of failure or regret over failure. What's dammed up, you know? Because you know what kills a plant is when it drowns. And sometimes we can be submerged beyond a veritable ocean of regret and disappointment and resentment and unforgiveness. How's the drainage of the things that need not be in your life? Is there something that the Spirit of God might be talking to you about now that just needs to drain? Good soil retains moisture. It keeps what's needed and lets go of the rest. Might sound like a weird question, but do you know what you need? Like, for example, I know I need 6.5 hours sleep. If I get less than that, it's ugly for me, for everybody. I need a certain amount of exercise. I need a certain amount of salt and vinegar chips. It's the second last day of a coffee fast. I need coffee. Jesus, I need coffee. Please, I need coffee. It's moisture for me. I need it. Do you know what you need in life? You need friendships, relationships, space, time. The question I'm just asking today is, do you know what you need? Do you know what your soul needs? If you ever ask God, hey God, what do I need in order to be a healthy, functioning human being? Fourth, it's full of nutrients. In other words, it grows because it's being fed. Church, it's so important that you and I place ourselves in growth environments. When you're in a community like our Thrive community, you're in a growth environment. If you're in your life group, in your serving team. But you know, it's so important that we grow outside of that. Have you learned something? Are you reading something? Are you studying a new course? Are you adding to your skills and your repertoire? Are you growing in your friendships and your relationships? You know, we can grow interpersonally. We can invite friends in our lives. Hey, tell me what you see in my life. Tell me what you think I'm, who you think I'm becoming, good and bad. Like if you've got somebody that you can trust, we can grow relationally through those kinds of questions. Growth environment doesn't have to be formal studies. It can be that we put ourselves in places where we can grow. Are you with me? Good soil, it's full of nutrients. That's because it's being fed. Are you being fed in your life? Read a book instead of Netflix it. It's gone so quiet in this Catholic church. Fifth, it's easy to cultivate. Good soil is easy to cultivate. In other words, it's loose, it's open. It's able to be tilled. How teachable are you? How able are people to speak into your life? How willing are you to grow? Are you able to do that? Teachable, open, flexible. Number six, it warms up quickly. Soft-hearted. In other words, It's soft enough to be warmed up. It's not so cold and hard. Have you got not only hard like we've spoken about, but are you cold? Is there some coldness in your life? Is there some dampness and coldness that's set into your life? Who are you cold towards? Why are you cold towards them? Maybe you and I mean, we can easily get cold towards God, hey? God doesn't do what we ask him to do, and next thing you know, we've got a little bit colder towards God. Seventh, lastly, it doesn't dry out. It allows itself to be replenished. Can I suggest to you that each one of us, not only do we need to know what we need in life, but we need to pursue strategies of replenishing. For example, I'll give you one practical example. For me, to watch TV is rest, but for me to read is replenishment. For some people, exercise, it's maybe pure torture. For other people, it's replenishing. Are you with me? Each one of us are different. But the point is, church, do you know what you need to replenish? Soil. Here's the thing. There'll be a statement on the screen. Please grab a hold of it. We aren't responsible. Church, we are not responsible. Let me just take the pressure off of you right now. You don't have to try too hard. You're not responsible for growing the fruit. We are responsible for the condition of the soil, for our hearts. I've given you seven characteristics of good soil. Can I quickly suggest to you two overarching statements about soil that I see from this parable? The first one is this. Great soil doesn't have more, it's actually got less. Let me explain what I mean. It's got less rocks in it. It's got less thorns. It's got less hardness. It's got less cares. It's got less worries. It's got less distractions. So it's got more room for the seed to work and grow. Can I ask you, what's crowding your life at this time? Speaking to somebody who is doing fasting February, they were fasting all social media and all Netflix. You know what they said to me? I cannot believe how much time I've got. They'd just taken out two big crowding out things in their lives. On that strategy, can I just give a shout out to Netflix? It's amazing how cheap Netflix is compared to DSTV, hey? 159 rands for Netflix. And 800 or 950 squillion something for DSTV. DSTV, please. This is us, Thrive Church. Boxburg, Edenvale, online, all over the world. We are hereby. We toy toy. Amandla, please. Reduce your prices. Please. If anybody knows anybody that works at DSTV, please petition. You're still with me? So great soil doesn't have more, it's got less. Secondly, the greatest amount of fruit produced was not determined by how rich the soil was, but how yielded to the plow it was. How yielded to the plow it was. What will determine the quality of the kingdom in our lives, what will determine the quality of what we grow in our lives is certainly the quality of the soil, but most importantly, how yielded we are to the one who wants to plow our lives. To Jesus, how yielded are you? I'll never forget Pastor Kathy's sermon a number of years ago. It stuck with me like in my brain when she lay on the floor of her study for a whole night wrestling with God about yielding her kids to Him and getting to the point where He's saying, God, they're actually your kids, not mine. They're on loan to me, but they're actually yours. Is there something you need to yield to Him today? Maybe it's your time. God's been on at you about adjusting your schedule. Maybe it's your sleep. You can't read the scripture unless you get up early. Well, then get up early. Maybe it's your talents, your gifts. Maybe you're an unbelievable musician and you watch week after week and you see the worship team. Or maybe the best hospitality person. You actually work in the hospitality industry, but you haven't given your gifts. Or maybe it's an unforgiveness that you need to yield to Him. Maybe it's a relational failure. Maybe it's a marriage that broke down and you need to yield to Him. Maybe it's your children. I don't know what it is, but I know that you know because the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us. What's Jesus asking you to yield to Him? I was reading about this little town called Conrad in Iowa in the United States, kind of in the Midwest of the United States. This town, and you'll see that, there we go. It was founded in 1853, this town. Some settlers were just passing through and they saw this town. They thought, oh, well, it wasn't a town even really, but it just looked like a good place to settle for a couple of months. And they decided, let's settle there and just see how things go. So they did. And they settled there for a season. And during that season, they thought, hey, let's have a bash and just plant some crops and see what happens. They plant these crops. The next thing you know, the crop is like unbelievable. It's stupendous, this crop. They've never seen a crop like this before. And they're like, this is incredible. They try the same thing on the other side of the town. And they think, well, I hope this goes well. And that crop is amazing. It's the most unbelievable mealies you've ever seen in your life that it grows. It's like just, and they start to plant all sorts of different things. And no matter what they plant, it grows. I mean, they could put a 5-rand coin in there and it grows a tree. You know what I'm saying? It's like that kind of vibe. And so they moved on from there, and then they thought, well, maybe this whole area. And they settled in another town 27 kilometers away, and they tried to plant there. And guess what? Everything that was there was frekduit. Didn't grow at all. Nothing. Just this town. I think you and I, we can be like Conrad, that town of Conrad. Where you get, people say, hey, you went to church, what did you learn? Yeah, I learned to be Conrad, you know. The town of Conrad. Good soil. Apparently it's this rich black soil. It's the richest soil in the United States in this little town called Conrad. Amazing, hey? I think you and I can be small little towns of rich soil that no matter what happens in our lives and around our lives, whatever the kingdom is planted in our lives, we grow. I think God, Jesus calls us to be good soil. What is good soil? It's got good structure to its life. Maybe today God is talking to you about structure. It drains well. It doesn't hold on to things. It doesn't allow things to dam up in its life. I think a good soil retains moisture. It keeps what it needs. It knows what it needs, and it builds that into its life. It's easy to cultivate and loose and teachable and humble and able to be tilled and able to be spoken to, full of nutrients, placing itself in growth environments all the time. It warms up quickly. It's not cold and hard, but warm and soft. And it doesn't dry out. It constantly stays replenished, lives within healthy, healthy limits. And I think great soil, it gets rid of the clutter, it gets rid of the things in our lives that seeks to crowd out our lives. And, you know, sometimes people think that's external. I know people say, you know, I want to do less so that I've got more time or whatever the case is. And I think there's a space for that. But sometimes people mistake the external for the internal. What I mean by that is sometimes it's not the external things in our lives that create the busyness. It's our own brains. It's our own hearts. I know people who do next to nothing in their lives, but they're the most busy, crowded people ever because of their hearts and their minds. It's what's in them. Are you with me? I know people who are incredibly busy, incredibly fruitful, but they're not crowded out. Pastor Trevor Hudson's one of those. His work ethic is second to none. You will not believe the amount of content that he puts out. He's constantly, constantly giving out. His life is like a river. It just keeps flowing, flowing, flowing into different communities. But yet when you meet him, he's so centered and so uncluttered and so... His soil has got space. You might not need to do less. You might need to be less busy inside. Lastly, great soil is yielded to the plow. Hands open. Jesus, whatever. Whatever you want, whatever you need. My time, my talent, my treasure, it's yours. Shall we pray? Come, let's take a moment and pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for your teaching. Jesus, thank you so much for your life. Thank you so much, Lord, that you came, you lived, and you showed us how to live. Thank you that as you came, you announced the kingdom, and the kingdom was accessible. And thank you that what we're learning this year is the kingdom is anywhere where your will and your way gets done, and that kingdom is accessible. And it's not only heaven one day, it is certainly, but it's a way of living. It's a quality of life this way. It's a life that produces wonderful things. And God, today we so desperately desire to be the one in four, the soil that receives your kingdom and begins to bring forth something in our lives. We want our lives to look like Pastor Donovan's lives. We want our life to look like fruitful. We want it to be something that produces something for the world. You know, and today, church, my invitation is very simple, and it's very targeted today, and that is to anybody here who wants to follow Jesus today. But there's three things that have stopped you. And maybe it's one of these three things. Maybe it's you want to follow Jesus, but truth be told, your heart feels hard. It feels like a footpath. That the years of resentment or difficulty or hardship or disappointment or disillusionment and has taken its toll, and your heart's gone hard. And you just realized it today, actually. It's like a light bulb's gone on, and you go, oh my word, truth be told, my heart is gone a touch hard. Or secondly, maybe it's like you've received God's news before, but it felt like it was so shallow. And today, that phrase that I used, carefully consider what it means for your life, resonated with you. It stuck with you. And you want to follow Jesus and say, yes, you know, Jesus, I want to consider your work on a deeper level for me. Or maybe today, it's worries and wealth that just started to choke it out. And today you've got to do some gardening, some weeding. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond to this invitation to follow Jesus. Anybody in this place, doesn't matter how long you've been in church, doesn't matter whether you've been in church today for the first time or whether you've grown up in church, that's not the issue. The issue is, do you want to follow Jesus with your whole life? And today you're going to decide, Jesus, come and talk to my soft heart. Come and speak into that. Jesus, today I want to carefully consider, and I want your work to be deeper in my life. Or perhaps today I'm going to do some gardening. I've got disordered priorities. Worries and wealth have got the best of it. But the point is, I want to follow you today, Jesus, with my whole life, with my whole heart. So church, in just a moment, I'm going to just do a quick count to three. The only reason for that is so that everybody knows this is the moment to respond, right? And I'm going to see your hand when you raise it, and I'm going to say thank you, and then I'm going to include you in a prayer. I'm not going to call you out, not going to do anything weird. I'm just going to see you say thank you. So ready? One in four soil. Those of us are ready, really, to change the soil of our lives today. Here we go. On the count of three. One, two, three. Hands up all across this place today. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you up in the balcony. Thank you. Come, if you haven't responded yet, there's so many thank you at the back. There's so many people responding. I'm going to wait for you. Thank you, ma'am, at the back. I can see your hand. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you down here in the front. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, you see every hand raised. You see every life that it represents. Father, I pray in this moment that every life responding today, Holy Spirit, come and speak. Holy Spirit, come and have your will and your way. Come and shape us and mold us and take us and change us. Form us into your likeness, Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you that you loved us, that you died for us, that in this place we can come and say, would you forgive us? Thank you that you come and your perfect death purchased our freedom. It purchased our forgiveness. We're so grateful for that in this moment. And we ask you to come and mold us and shape us and change us. Have your will and your way in us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, 10 o'clock. Come on, would you give a loud cheer for those? Come on, church, let's stand to our feet. Come on, are you ready to worship this morning? We're going to take a moment. We're going to sing out the Lord's Prayer. We're going to sing powerful words of the kingdom coming in our lives. Come on, would you yield your hearts to Him today? Come on, lift up your voices to Him today and give God some praise in this place. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.